after. Amen. But just that prepared in your hearts. Praise God.
I know some of y'all don't know.
It's good.
Yeah.
Go ahead and pray.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We go live.
We've been live.
You've been.
We're live? Okay. Oh, okay. Go ahead and praise him.
Hallelujah.
We're going to do it. Take one.
All right.
Our Father, in the name of Son Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for today, dear Jesus. I thank you, dear Lord, for prayer service, dear Lord. I thank you for the body of saints that are in the house, dear Lord. I thank you for the awesome reminder, Pastor Ben, dear Lord, that the Christ, that the cross still lives, dear Jesus, that the blood is freshly running through, dear Jesus, that your healing power is the same today, today, and forever, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Jesus, for your awesome presence, Lord. We ask that you continue through ministry, dear Jesus. It's ministering to Pastor Sandy first, dear Lord. Allow him to be stirred up in his heart, dear Jesus. And then help, with the help of the Holy Spirit, let those words flow out to us, dear Jesus. Let us be filled today, dear Lord. Let us receive from you, dear Jesus, to a point of overflow, dear Lord. Let us go home, dear Lord, and allow it to continue to stir up things in us, dear Lord. Continue to draw us closer to you. We bless you on this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful work.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So have you guys been watching the news?
No.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Sensational. That's what I want to hear. So I'm going to catch you up. Because I have to watch it because the Lord's talking to me about what's going on and about his people. Because we don't, this is the problem with human beings. The problem with human beings is if it's not happening to you, it's not happening.
Amen.
You know what I mean? If your mall is still open, your TV still works, it's hard for you to feel the pain unless you're sympathetic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord wanted me to let you guys know that there's a war going on in Russia, and Ukraine, and there are a lot of people that are dying in Ukraine. And he also wants me to let you know that there are a lot of Christians that he has provided them an escape, and a lot of them are in Poland, living with other Christian families in their homes.
Wow.
And there are some who were not Christians who have, a lot of the Christians in Poland have answered the call. You understand? They have answered the call. They're taking people in their homes. They're preaching the gospel to them and leading them to the Lord, people who don't know Christ. And God has provided a place for the Christians that were in Ukraine to get out. Then the Christians that were in the western part of Ukraine, they didn't even bomb Ukraine. The highest Christian population was in the western part. You know they didn't bomb the western part until the last couple of days. So they had already been able to escape. So I just want you to know that God knows what's going on. And what is going on is really tragic for the people that is happening to, but the people that are orchestrating this don't care about human beings.
Right.
You guys have to understand that.
Absolutely.
This is just another chess move in order for them to get the world domination and the one world order that they want, okay? So, but God knows what's going on and he's taking care of his people in Ukraine, okay?
Amen.
And I want you to know that because for them, they're asking, Lord, when are you coming? For American Christians, we're like, if you can come this week or next week, don't really matter. As long as you come, you know? So we are not as urgent because we are not at war and we have not lost our homes and we have not seen children being bombed. We have not seen all this. So for us, it's not really happening because it's not happening here. You understand? But rethink your mind and think to yourself, if we were at war, and you lost your home and you were living in a shelter and you had to go under the subway in the daytime so you don't get bombed, the one thing you would message you would love is Jesus is coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Amen.
And God wants you to know He hears their call and He is coming soon.
Yes.
Okay? I'm going to have to teach you guys a Bible study because I realize sometimes we read the book of Revelation and it doesn't hit us what's going on because we don't know that the history of the book of Revelation is in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, everything that's in the book of Revelation, God already really talked about in the Old Testament. He's just uncovering it. He's revealing it in the book of Revelation, okay? So I want us to learn a couple things before we get started, okay? In the Bible study, but the things I want you to learn is in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1, okay? So let's go there. I'm getting really excited about leaving. Last week, my knee felt like it was going to fall apart. And I had done nothing, just 60. That's all it is. Like, you 60, and today I'm not working. And this morning, my ankle's like, well, this morning we not working. So the whole thing is, I need a new body. And I'm glad that Jesus provided that, okay? Because I want a resurrected body. I want a new life, not just for myself. I want a new life for all the people that are living underneath bridges and freeways.
Mm-hmm.
I want a new life. I want a new earth and a new king and a new rulership for everybody that's going through earthly stuff that is only happening because a cursed sin came upon humanity. Okay?
Amen.
It wasn't supposed to be like this. But God said it's going to get worse and worse until the end. Okay? So don't think that. This is hard to say to some Christians. Don't think that you're looking for better days.
Amen.
Okay. Because I know what they're thinking. There's going to be a great revival and church is going to be filled and the church is going to take over the world's wealth and then God can come. No, you've been lied to. Okay? You've been lied to. Christ is coming. New life is coming. A new king is coming. You know, God already has established who's going to be king of the earth.
Yes.
He's already chosen his king, okay? So whoever comes before, talking about he's the king, he's a liar.
Yes.
He's like Ishmael. He's a defiled man. But the Antichrist is coming, and the world will accept him. But there's a lot that has to happen before he comes because the church has to go.
Yep.
And I keep trying to tell people that the only thing that's holding back the real fight is us being here. And so this is going to happen. Now watch this in 2 Kings or 1 Kings chapter 6. And it says, in the 480th year, after the Israelites had come out of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign, in the month of Zev, the second month, he began to build the temple of the Lord. So he's in this year, and he said, this is the second month of the fourth year of his reign, okay? And they said it's in the month of Zev. Now the month of Zev is now called the month of Iyar, which is the second month of the year, okay? What's the first month of the year? Nisan. So Solomon is on the second month in the fourth year, but on the second month of his reign that it began. So that means his reign began in the month of Nisan. You understand? And you need to know and understand that. Let's go to Chronicles chapter 3, 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. You guys should mark this down. It says, then Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David. It was the threshing floor of Arunah, the Jebusite, the place provided by David. He began building the second day of the second month in the fourth year of his reign. So this is his fourth year, and in the second month of his fourth year, that means he began to do all of this building. But it's the second month, meaning that he became a king in the first month of the year, but he's doing this building in the second month. You understand? So the Bible is letting you know Solomon was crowned king in the month of Nisan, on the first month, okay? This is important because we have a crowning ceremony to go to, and that crowning ceremony is next month.
Amen.
The crowning ceremony is in the month of Nisan. This is why God had me do all of that, to show you that the wedding took place before Nisan. God wanted me to let you know that he called Eleazar by voice. Remember, Kol Elohim, the voice of God said to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. But his name is what? Jesus is not Greek. He's Hebrew. Eleazar, come forth. Who's Eleazar? Holy Spirit. When the voice speaks, Eleazar comes forth, and the grave clothes are taken off. See, I'm not going to have this knee and this ankle problem much longer.
Amen.
Because I have to take off this stuff. You understand?
Yes.
When the Holy Spirit gets called out, guess who else hears that voice? The bride of Christ.
Yes.
So we have to know and understand that you have two times things happening in the New Testament. And then after God lets you know, the wedding was before Nisan. Okay?
Amen.
The wedding happened before Nisan.
Amen.
Amen.
The calling out of the Holy Spirit from the dead place where the dry figs are happened before Nisan. You understand? So now he's letting you know his son, David's son, became king in the month of Nisan. And there's going to be a crowning ceremony for our king. Now, Solomon was not king when David proclaimed that he was going to be king. What does Solomon mean? Peace. So since he was in peace, that means he was David's son. He was really the prince of peace.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
So the prince of peace is going to become king in the month of Nisan. And so all of this setup, sometimes it jumps in my mind. I have to be like a coach. I got to stay calm. All of this setup to get us to this place was for us to be excited about not only us leaving, but our brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering,
yes,
who are crying out even louder than us.
Yes.
Because I'm sitting there in a warm house and I'm not suffering doesn't mean that there aren't Christians that aren't suffering and saying, you could come today and we'd really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I've got to be praying for those people. You understand?
Amen.
And young people, you can't talk to them. They think like they're going to be young forever. So they don't understand. Like,
get it.
Look, you need a new body. No, I don't. I'm fine, Mom. No, you need a new body. you need a resurrected body, you know? Like my dad said, just keep living.
Keep living.
Okay, so I wanted you to know that. Now I want you to know this. Let's go to 2 Chronicles I said, we in some strange books. No, I'm sorry. We got to go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 24, okay? 1 Chronicles chapter 24. I'm really educating you so when we get to the message, that you understand the message.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, it says, these were the divisions of the sons of Aaron. Who are the sons of Aaron? The priests. Okay? Now watch this. It says here, the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, but Nadab and Abihu died before their father did, and they had no sons. So Eleazar and Ithamar served as the priests with the help of Zadok, a descendant of Eleazar, and Ahimelech, the descendant of Ithamar. David separated them into for their appointed order of ministry. Okay? So David brings all the priests together and he says, I'm going to divide up the priesthood in the order of service. So you guys are going to serve, but divide it up. And it says here, let me see if I... David separated them into divisions for the appointed order of ministry. A large number of the leaders were found among Eleazar's descendants, then among Ithamar's, and they were divided accordingly. 16 heads of family for Eleazar and the descendants, and it says, and 8 for the family of Ithamar. So, the division is in what? 16 and 8 is what? 24.
Yes.
So the king has decided that he's going to separate the priesthood into 24 seats. And this is according to how they're going to minister in the temple. Okay? Now, we're still in the same, let's go to verse 10. And this is probably not necessary, but I'm a teacher and I've got to do it. It says, verse 10, it says, the seventh order came to Hakos, and the eighth to Abijah. Now, Abijah is the descendant that leads to Zechariah. Because when Christ comes, at the time of Christ, Zechariah is going to go into the temple to minister. And then the angel's going to visit with Zechariah there. And because of the course of the priesthood, we know exactly what time he went into the temple. Mm-hmm. And we know exactly what happened after he came out of the temple. His wife got pregnant. And then Elizabeth was pregnant with child and was about to give birth. But he's doing his order of priesthood. He's the eighth of the course of the priesthood, mm-hmm. So you know exactly when he was in there, okay?
Yes, yes.
We're still learning. Now let's go to Luke. Chapter 1, let's read verse 5. In the time of Herod, the king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. So his wife is also a descendant of what? The priesthood. Mm-hmm. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. Okay, let's go over to verse 26. I'm sorry, I'm going to start at 23 so you understand what's going on. It says, when the time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife, Elizabeth, became pregnant and for 5 months remained seclusive, in seclusion. The Lord had done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among people. Because now Elizabeth is pregnant. In the sixth month, verse 26, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town called Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you."
Yes.
Mary was greatly troubled at the words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. I'm going exactly what, okay, good. Okay. And he says, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Yeshua," which means he will save. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." My first question is, what do you mean forever? Do you mean his kingdom will never end? I mean, David was a king for 40 years. I mean, so what's this angel telling him? What is he telling her? Your child is going to become king over Israel, and his kingdom is going to be eternal. So Jesus has been declared that he is not only going to be king over Jacob, I mean over Israel, but he's going to be king forever.
Yes.
And so, he's going to be in the priesthood of the line of David, okay? Now listen. As we go forward, let's look at this for a minute here. Hold up. I don't want to get ahead of God. Okay, he wants me to show you this. In chapter 24 of Chronicles, right, what's the subject? I'm dividing the priesthood up into 24 segments. Did God put it in chapter 24 for no reason?
No.
Nope.
Okay. The Greeks had 26 letters in their alphabet until about a couple years before Jesus was born. Then they got rid of two of the letters so that they'll have 24 letters. 24 is what? 8 plus 8 plus 8, which is what? Jesus. Okay, but Jesus is about to be born. We don't need 26, we need 24. Because this is about Jesus. Okay? So the Greek alphabet was changed because Jesus was about to come. Because this is all about this 24 priesthood that is going to reign, because since Jesus is going to be a king in the order of David, but his kingdom is going to be forever, he is also going to have 24 priesthood. You understand?
Yeah.
And so, here we go. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19. Watch this. Matthew chapter 19. Get up to it. Matthew chapter 19. Let's go to verse 28. Jesus is talking to his disciples. Watch this. Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging 12 tribes of Israel. Every one of you who has left house or brother or sister or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." You hear that? So he's promising the 12 apostles, when we get to heaven and I'm sitting on my seat, you also are going to sit on your thrones in heaven. Now, if Jesus is king, is he only going to have 12 people in the priesthood?
No.
So the other 12 is the patriarchs, the 12 tribes of Israel. So you got the 12 tribes of Israel, and you got the 12 apostles, and they've all been designated that they're going to have seats of authority when Jesus comes into his kingship. Remember, he's been declared king. He's not the king yet because he hasn't had a proper crowning ceremony. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus is not, because when Jesus said it's already done. But he is going to have a crowning ceremony. So on the 14th of Nisan, they arrest Jesus. And the Roman guards take him into the praetorium, which is the room for crowning a king. And they beat him in the face. And they hit him with rods over his head. Then they take thorns and twist them into a crown of thorns, and they press them into his head. And they laugh at him. And they get on their knees and they say, "Oh, mighty king." And they're laughing at Jesus. This is all happening on the 14th of Nisan. Why on the 14th of Nisan? Because they know Solomon became king when? In the month of Nisan. All Jewish kings become kings during the month of Nisan. So they knew that this was the time to crown a Jewish king. Jesus is saying he's a king, so let's make fun of him. So you think that was a proper crowning ceremony?
No.
Let me tell you guys something. One of the apostles says, do you want us to defend you? And he grabs a sword and he cuts the guy's ear off. And Jesus says, "What are you doing? Don't you know I could call legions of angels? I don't need you." Listen, Jesus is acting like a man, but he's God. You guys got to understand that. There's sometimes he has to, I would call it like, he's not pretending because he's a man, but he's like, "I'll act this out, but really I could whip you all, right? But, oh, please, please don't do this," you know? So, but he allows them to do what they're doing. They're mocking his crowning ceremony, okay? Now, we can go to Revelation chapter 4. You know, in John chapter 10, Jesus is talking to his apostles. He says, "You know, I'm the door. I'm the door to the kingdom. Anybody who enters through me." But he says, somebody tries to go another way, says that they're thieves and robbers. So anybody that wants to enter into the door has to come through me. You understand? So Olivet Bet-Gamel, delete, Jesus is the door. Okay. Understand that when they came out of Egypt, the whole purpose, the whole thing was put blood on the door, but only put it in three spots. Because later there's going to be a door and he's going to have three spots of blood on him. And by that blood, the death angel will pass over those people and they will be delivered out of bondage. You understand? So putting three spots of blood on a door was just a representation of Jesus. Did Jesus say the whole Bible is about me? Okay, the door was about Jesus. The blood on the door was about Jesus. The nails in his hand on a wooden cross in three spots was about Jesus because he's about to provide a door for you to come from there to here because the promise is you're going to be where I am. But before you can do that, the door has to be open. Okay, you're in Revelation chapter 4? Now, what has he just talked about? He just talked about the seven churches. And in the first chapter of that, he told you the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Now, here it is, and it says, after this, I looked, and there before me, this is after the church thing, is about to be done. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door. Who is that? Standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, a rainbow resembling an emerald, and encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. That means a crowning ceremony is going on. So, do you think this crowning ceremony is not going to be held in Nissan? You think they're going to change the whole coordination of a king now? Or is this happening at Nissan? We went back all the way to Joshua. Joshua crosses the people over. He splits the water, crosses them over. They're over on the other side. And it's not even the 10th of Nisan yet. It says later on the 10th of Nisan, he told the priest to go back in and get 24 stones. They go back in and get 24 stones. He said, place those 24 stones here so that when people can be a memorial, so when people see them, they'll know that a deliverance happened in this spot. And so those 24 stones sit there. Or did he say take 12 stones? But I'll look back at it. Anyway, he takes these stones and he sets them there, and they take these stones and they set them there. I think it's 12 stones. And he sets them there, and this is for the to remember that they crossed there. Now, they cross, then 10 days later, he tells the priest to go back in and get the stones. Then it says, on the 14th of Nisan, they celebrated Passover on the other side. So that means the deliverance came before what? The 14th of Nisan. The wedding happened before what? The 14th of Nisan. The calling out of Eleazar, come forth, happened when? Before the month of Nisan. So you may not be crying out because your life is not threatened now, but there are people that are crying out that God is like, I've got to save my people, and it's time.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
So here we go. Let's finish reading this. And it says, was 24 elders, and they were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. So we see a throne. We got 24 elders. They got crowns on their head. And it says, from the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, pearls, and before the throne, seven lamps blazing. What are these seven lamps? The seven lamps are the seven churches. Every church member since Christ resurrected from the grave will be standing there watching what we're watching. This crowning ceremony. And see, this is your future, but they do church like religion, and you never hear about Jesus, because I got to tell you how God's going to make you rich. I'm trying to tell you about Jesus and his plan for you. Yeah. Forget what you can get out of it.
Right.
This is not about your life here.
Right.
God has planned for you there.
Yes.
Right. Let's finish reading this. From the throne came lightning and pearls, and lightning and rumbling and pearls of thunder. And before the throne, seven lamps were blazing.
These are the seven spirits of God. Where does the Spirit live right now?
In us.
These seven churches are children of God. They got the Spirit of God living in them. Do you understand? You got born again. You never existed before. You never had God live inside of you before.
Amen.
But now you got God living inside of you.
Amen.
And you don't really understand it, but God is living inside of you.
Yeah.
You are a temple of the living God.
Yeah.
You're the priest over your own temple.
Amen.
So God says what? Keep the temple pure and keep the temple clean,
yeah,
because your body is not yours. It belongs to God. It's the temple of Shel Elohim, belonging to Elohim. Your temple belongs to who?
Yeah.
Elohim. So God says, keep it clean.
Right.
Would you watch pornography in the temple? Would you go to the temple of God and say, I think I'll bring some pornography and just watch it inside the temple? You wouldn't do that.
Uh-uh.
I'm going to take some shots inside the temple. See, your body, God is watching how you keep your temple.
Yeah.
See, he's watching your authority over your temple.
Yeah.
Because the temple is holy. And anybody that destroys the temple of God, God will destroy them. You can't destroy your temple by being a fool up in there thinking that you can do what you want.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I want to stop here right now and just kind of teach you something, okay?
Amen.
There's a word, there's a letter in Hebrew, and this is the letter. I'm going to write it here. It's a kaf. It means holiness, okay? It's a kaf. You want to know how to say monkey in Hebrew? Kaf. But the letter means holiness. And the word kadosh means holiness. Tzadik, which is what righteousness is, means in Hebrew, trapping the monkey. So in Hebrew, they don't have what you call, what they call it, evolution. They don't believe a monkey can be turned into a human, but they have reverse evolution. They believe that a human can become a monkey. You know why? Because you can be born and then you start acting like an animal. And you get to the point where you only react to what your flesh tells you to do. So the word tzadik means to trap the monkey. Righteousness means trap the monkey.
Wow.
Get the monkey under control. You understand?
Yeah.
So once you get the monkey under control, you can be righteous.
Yeah.
So, because look, God is very intelligent. Why would he have the word for monkey and the same word for holiness? Kof is holiness. Oh, kof is also a monkey. Tzadik, what does righteousness mean? It means trap the monkey. So this is why, see, there's no such thing as once saved, always saved. Once we come into Christ, we're all trying to trap the monkey.
Yeah.
Get him under control.
Amen.
So I don't just do what I feel like. When I feel like sleeping with anybody. Okay, let's go. Because I'm a monkey. I just do what my flesh tells me. Once you trap the monkey, you become kadosh.
Amen.
You become holy. You understand?
Yeah.
That's what. Now you may be in the process of trapping the monkey. Try to catch a monkey.
Right.
God made that on purpose.
Yeah.
Try to catch a monkey. You'll be running around this room for a while. You'll slip out of your hands, jump over your head. It is not easy trapping a monkey. Okay? But God says, he said this to Cain. He says, your flesh is trying to rule over you. He says, Satan is trying to rule over you, but you must master it. God requires that we put some effort into it.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be like you're trying to save yourself and then your salvation isn't free? Then shut up with all this once saved, always saved. That's Satan's doctrine.
Yeah.
Or else God wouldn't say, what's our scripture, Pastor Ben? Go and sin no more. I like that one. Why would Jesus say, go and sin no more? He's like, go now that you believe in me, you can't sin anymore. And even if you do it, don't say that because you're going to heaven now. See, this is the lie that's been perpetrated through the Southern Baptist Convention to 46,000 churches to tell you, you don't even have to try to live righteous because you're already saved by grace. And it doesn't matter how you live. No, it matters how you live every day you wake up.
Amen.
I'm not going to do what my flesh tells me to do. I'm going to live by the Spirit.
That's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So that's a big statement, Pastor Sandy. You say that 2021, but it's 2022. Someone would be like, oh, God. Because I can see God doing that to us. Like when I was like, oh, my birthday's coming up. God's like, I am so tired of you thinking your birthday is on October 26th. When I had you born on Heshvan 17th, on the same day the flood happened. So I'm going to send you through this so you can stop saying your Gregorian birthday. Because I don't go by it. I know what day you were born. I don't have a Gregorian calendar in heaven. There's no January in heaven.
Amen.
Janus is a demonic spirit. Why would God have a January in heaven when Janus, the month that it, the demon it was named after, is a demonic spirit?
Right.
So God says, get on my calendar. So it's not the year 2022 until God says, now it's Nisan 1, now it's 2022. Right now it's still 2021 until Nisan 1st, which is April 2nd. In Nisan is the time that the children of God, that Joshua crossed them over to the other side.
Yeah.
On the 14th of Nisan was when they celebrated on the other side. It's on the 14th of Nisan that comes after the wedding. It's on the 14th of Nisan that comes after God calls the Holy Spirit out of the world. You think the Holy Spirit's going to land in heaven and go, I'm here by myself?
No.
What was God's orders to him? Go there and bring my son back a bride. He's here to find people who are willing to marry someone they've never seen,
yeah.
But he's a beautiful person.
Yeah.
And once you accept it, you're on your way. You get the Holy Spirit inside of you. You start trying to trap the monkey. Life is changing. You're moving. And now we get to this stage in our, and then God says this, watch and pray. You know what watch means? You know what watch means? It means do not incline yourself to laziness. Be attentive and active. Attentive and active to what? Don't incline to laziness. That means don't go 3-4 weeks without reading your Bible. Lazy. Lazy. Don't go 3 or 4 weeks without praying. Lazy. Go 3 or 4 weeks without calling your girlfriend. I bet you she won't be your girlfriend. She'd be like, I ain't heard from you. I have moved on. I am now dating Tyrone. But God is gracious. We forget about him. He doesn't forget about us. But he's like, don't think that you ignoring me is this is the type of relationship I want. This is not what I want.
Right.
I want to have an active, engaged relationship. I don't want that.
Right. Right.
But if that's all you're giving me, I'll try to hang in there.
Right.
But if the trumpet blow and you're doing this, you are considered lukewarm.
Amen.
And then you'll go, oh, I don't want why God would leave me. Oh, because you were lukewarm. And nobody likes lukewarm coffee.
Amen.
Okay. So we're looking at this, and I got to show you guys something. I'm calming down. You see these 22 letters up here? These are 22 Hebrew letters. Are they right, Jaguar? They are now. Jaguar came up here. Jaguar came up here and said, you have a mistake. She was the valedictorian of our school. So you have a mistake with your letters there, Pastor. I think you need to correct that. You got two cuffs, and that doesn't have cuffs. I was like, thank you, valedictorian. You may go back to your seat. And so I corrected the letters. The letters are divided into 11 on this side, 11 on that side. The kof is the first letter that gets a sephit meaning, which means this is the beginning of the ending. Okay? The sephit comes down. The next letter, as it divides, is lamed, which is lamata, meaning I'm going up. So Jesus comes down. He takes you up. When does this all happen? In Nisan. Thank you. Now watch this. God said, now, my numbers are correct. You're telling everybody it's going to happen in 2020, which is the 121st year. Okay? Because 2020 was the 120th year, and they lied to us. That's what Psalm said. The 121, it begins, and the numerical value for Psalms 121 is 222, the ultimate voice of God. This is not just the voice of God. 220 is like, this is the fulfillment of the voice of God. Amen. God makes the first verse of 121 to be the ultimate voice of God. So here you have Psalm 21 is 2220. Divide the two, and what is it? 121. So that means if you divide the word of God, the water, and you bring them through, there's a deliverance. So 121 is 11 times 11. God did this. Remember, he's doing math while he's writing. I don't know how to do that. The word lamed in Hebrew, which means teaching and learning, so you have the student and the teacher coming together. It also means a shepherd's staff. So God puts the shepherd's staff only in one of the ascent verses, and that's 121. It's the only one he puts the lamed in. That means there's an anomaly there, so we're supposed to look at it. The lamed is the shepherd's staff. The shepherd uses the staff to do what? To push the sheep into the direction to guide them out. You understand? Now, they will only hear his voice, so they will start coming. And then he will begin to use the lamed, the shepherd's staff, to do what? 222 means what? The voice of God. Only when you times it times 10 does it become the ultimate, the fulfillment. So God is like, this is the fulfillment. 121 is the fulfillment. 2021 is the fulfillment. So you got lamed, shepherd's staff, and it's 222. Kol Elohim. In Hebrew, numerical value, 222. You understand? So God is like, look, I'm making this thing as clear as I could possibly make it. You've already told them that 2020 is the 120th year. And if the 120th year didn't start off with a lie, then tell me it didn't start off with a lie. If they were telling you the truth in 2020, just tell me, and then prophecy won't have been fulfilled, and I'll say, okay, I'm wrong. But if you were lied to in 2020, and you can't be Emerson's pastor, you got to be somebody that's different, because his pastor's like, what lie? So, not him, but regular people. When you're talking about where you lied to in 2020, everybody in the world knows that we were lied to, okay? Everybody knows. Now, 2021 says the ultimate voice of God starts here. The shepherd's staff will be used, and you will get the ultimate voice of God that calls you out. Where's Pastor Ben?
Right here.
How much time I got?
3 minutes.
Hallelujah.
Actually, we have 10 minutes, Pastor. 10 minutes.
Okay, good deal. Now watch this, you guys. Watch this, okay? Watch this. Watch this. Ah, this is beautiful. Psalms 117 divides the whole Bible. 594 on that side, 594 on this side. Okay, Psalms divides the whole Bible. It commands the Gentiles to praise God. It separates the water. The water of the word is the sample here. It's separating the word. Whenever water is being separated in the Bible, what's happening? A deliverance. There's a deliverance happening whenever. So God separates the water in 117, which was 2017. So everybody said, this is when this happened. Let me stop. 594 on each side. I said, Lord, what does the number 594 mean in Hebrew? It's lekachnu. It means we took. Okay? So God is like, we separated the waters and we took. So he puts it in a word that says we took. The only other word for this is who took. It says the carpenter. So God is like, okay, we separated the waters and we took. So then we get to Psalms of Ascent. What does it mean? These are the 15 Psalms that talk about you're going to ascend up. Okay? Guess what God does? There's 15 of them. He divides those two. So he goes, you got Psalm of Ascent. You have 15 of them. You have the 127th one here. And then you got seven on this side, and you got seven on this side, and he's dividing them by letters now. So you got 1,594 letters on that side. You think he accidentally put 1,594 letters on that side? Then you got 1,594 on this side, okay? And then you have here a middle word that says sons, banim, okay? So he separates, he's bringing the sons of God out of the world, okay? Now I'm like, why did you add 1,000 though, Lord? What's the purpose of that? The 1,000 is the ultimate. Understand, the 1,000 means that this is the fulfillment. A day unto God is one, but it's really 1,000. The 1,000 is the fulfillment. So he says, I added 1,000 because that's going to be the fulfillment. Now watch this. And I have to. Nope, got too many notes. I got to read all of these things that mean 1,000. Oh my God. Where's my notes at, Pastor Ben? I got it, you guys. Well, anyway, I'm going to tell you one of the thousands is the first sentence of Revelation chapter four. Nope. You guys hang in there with me. Sing a song or something. Because I've got to. Touch. Cole Elohim. I'm gonna be mad. I know I didn't leave it in the room. And I can't find it. So I'm going to leave it there. And I'm going to let you know that it's 3. Oh, my goodness. Oh, he that overcometh. The thousand word is he that overcometh. That's the numerical value for the thousand. So the thousand is placed there because the numerical value is those who are being lakach are them that have overcome. Okay? So in all of this, I'm trying to explain to people when God said, watch, we were not supposed to put our heads in the sand and just come to church, clock in, go home, come back next week, play church, clock in, go home, you know, do whatever you want in the week, come back to church, play church, go. You are in a relationship with God. You're in part of the plan of God. Find out how the movie goes and what happens at the end, because now you're in it. You understand? You're in it. You're in the movie. So now you got to know, how does this end? I just told you how it ends. It ends with the voice of God saying, come up here. That's how it ends. And then you take a trip up. Christ comes down, you take a trip up, and then what needs to happen happens in the earth. But you've got to get out of here.
Amen.
Amen.
And it's coming soon. This is what I'm trying to say. It's coming soon. Don't get so relaxed because they said, okay, you can take off your mask now. Don't get so relaxed to saying that, oh, maybe things are going to get back to normal. Don't do that to yourself. You are not a part of this world.
Amen.
You're part of God's plan. Amen. You can't look at what the world's doing. You got to look in the Bible and say, well, according to the story, this is what's about to happen.
Yeah. Amen.
This is the glorious appearing.
Amen.
This is the voice of God that we're going to hear. Amen. And we've got to. Amen. The blessed hope is what Jesus gave us.
Amen.
To let us know that I got something better. And he says, I'm going to take you from all that is about to happen.
Amen.
Someone said, well, if it don't happen by April 2nd, Pastor, will you start believing in the mid-trib? There's no mid-trib in the Bible.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
I don't talk about foolish stuff.
Right.
There's no such thing as a mid-trib in the Bible.
Right.
There's no thing as is rescued at the end of the tribulation in the Bible.
Right.
There is only 7 years before you get out of here.
Yeah. Right.
You understand?
Right.
And it's 7 years and 6 months.
Amen.
So the fact that they're going to have a meeting in September, from September 13 to 22nd, to declare a 7-year peace plan at the UN just happens to be 6 months from Nisan. And Esther says, you get a whole trip where you get to see the glory of God for 6 months. So all this stuff is planned for us. And I can't get God's people excited about what God has planned for us because our minds are in the world. We're still playing a lottery. I know God's coming back, but I'm playing a lottery. If I win, I hope you win on the day you leave. Either way, you're going to be happy. You're going to be like, really? Was I trying to stay there for that? Really?
Exactly.
What would you have bought with it? Would you have bought this house? You couldn't afford this house with what you want. You know what I mean? What Jesus just built for you, you couldn't afford it with what you want.
Right.
So I keep my eyes on Jesus. Right. Keep your heart on things above. Keep your minds on things above.
Yeah.
We are new creatures in Christ Jesus.
Exactly.
Even if you take focus off of it, God doesn't forget who you are. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Your destination is heaven. When the voice calls, you're leaving. So I don't care what you got planned. God keeps his mind focused on, this is how it's going to end.
Yeah.
Right.
My mind is there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to let you know it's not far. You're in the second month of Adar, which means glorious. And there's eight of them. And it's we could go on and on. I've never had this many things point to the time as I have now since for 18, 19 years. I've never had everything pointing to one time. And so I'm saying, look, be joyful. Pray for our brothers and sisters who are in trouble. Pray for our people who don't have a nice, comfortable, luxurious home, who are living under freeways. Pray for the mother who's living in a house that only has one bedroom and she has six kids, you know? And she's trying to teach them Jesus. You know what I mean? Everybody don't have it as good as us, but you have to understand we got to be praying for them because they're part of the body. And when they leave, we leave, we all leave together. We're all one family. We're all God's children, and we're being called up. That is the hope, and that is the glory. And I'm telling you right now, you ignored prophecy. You ignored 2020 because it was the 120th year. It was a worldwide judgment, just like the days of Noah. It will be as it was in the days of Noah. It was a worldwide judgment. And they were on the boat for a whole year and they came off in the 121st year. So get ready. Get ready. I'm telling you, I know something you don't know. Get ready because we're leaving. Praise God.
Amen. Amen.